Thank you for having me here, and I know that I'm standing between you and some other questions as well as the end of the project, so I'll try not to go too, the end of the conference, so I'll try not to go too long. Although we have a lot of social support systems in Canada, there we do face several challenges. One of those being that we have a really high rate of children being taken into child and protective services when compared with other high-income countries. And when we look at provinces around Canada, in fact, Manitoba has one of the highest rates of children being taken into care. And there's an overrepresentation of children being taken into care from Indigenous First Nations communities, as well as from low-income families. Several years ago, a program was developed called the Families First Home Visiting Program, which is an intervention designed to help to support families in order to reduce the rates of children being taken into care. Paraprofessionals go into the home and they visit with families from the conception all the way up until kindergarten. This program is being delivered in partnership between the public health program of regional health authorities. So in Manitoba, our health care is provided by regional health authorities, which receive funding from the provincial government. And the focus here in this program is to enhance parents' capacity in order to provide nurturing environments for their children and to reduce risks for being taken into care. Currently, this program is serving about 1,500 families. There's a related program called Strengthening Families, which is being administered in Indigenous and First Nations communities that are on reserve. The Families First program is provided to those families who do not live on reserve. Some key elements of the program include weekly home visits provided by trained non-professional home visitors. These visitors are coordinated by BSN public health nurses. And these home visits are offered for approximately 3 years, although it can go longer depending on the family. And the program is designed to ensure that one paraprofessional is not overloaded with a large number of families. There's a skills building curriculum as well as providing reading training for the children and to try to improve family functioning. We had three questions when we came to this program. It's been running for over 10 years. It wasn't rolled out as a randomized study, unfortunately. It was just implemented across the province. And we wondered whether the implementation of this program was associated with reduced cases of children going into care, custody of Child and Family Services, whether there was a reduced rate for hospitalizations due to injuries related to child maltreatment, and then we whether there were improved immunization rates, because some of the materials provided during the home visiting program include information about vaccinations. And then finally, we wanted to understand whether this program was associated with reduced inequities for apprehension into care. So as I mentioned before, being taken into care, there's an overrepresentation amongst children from low-income families. And so we wanted to see whether this program served to reduce the gap between low- and high-income families. When families in Manitoba go through their life, they come in contact with the medical system. They come in contact sometimes with the justice system. They come in contact with education, so school records and development indices. They come in contact with child and family services and other social services that are provided in the province. And each of these contacts generate administrative data. What we do at the center is we bring together those administrative data from all of these different sectors, and we're able to link them together using a scrambled personal identifier. One of the unique aspects of this identifiers, we're also able to link parents with their children and link children within families. And we're able to then follow the children from preconception, looking at their mother's experiences all the way up until the current day. So some of these children could be in their 30s and 40s today. Just to give you an idea of all of the different data sets that we brought together for this project. So social housing, if a family was involved with a social housing program in the province, some education data on the mother, so her education attainment, other interventions that the mother and child might be exposed to with Healthy Child Manitoba, our immunization data, medical services. We brought in data from the hospital records, prescription drugs, emergency visits, and we linked all of those data together using our population health research registry. Just to give you a little bit more understanding, so we followed families from the prenatal period, measuring a mother's contact with the prenatal care system, brought in variables on the child's birth, so looking at their gestational age, Apgar score, whether or not they initiated breastfeeding, and then we looked at indicators of involvement with child and family services and hospitalizations due to maltreatment going up into early childhood. Every child mother dyad in Manitoba receives a family first screen at birth. And so what this screen is it's a set of questions to measure the risk for whether or not this child is likely to experience maltreatment. We use depending on the score that the family receives, they're either identified as being at risk or not at risk, and then those individuals who are at risk are invited to participate in the program. There were some of the data in the child and family's first screen were missing, and so in order to account for those missing data, we used multiple imputation in order to calculate risk scores for those families. As I mentioned, we brought together variables from a variety of different sources, including preconception and prenatal variables from the mother and the child and family's first screen. And we used those variables then to create a propensity score, which is simply just the probability that a dyad or a family that's eligible to be in the program actually participates in the program. And we use those to construct inverse probability weights, which was our approach to control for measured confounding. There were 9,760 families that were eligible to participate in the program. And then based on the family, the risk score of greater than or equal to 25, that's a cutoff point that the province uses, we identified families that met the eligibility criteria but did or did not participate in the program. And then we use the IPTWs in order to balance confounders between the exposure and non-exposure, those in the program and not in the program. So at the start of our study, what we did was we looked at the distribution of risk factors. This isn't all of them. We actually looked at close to 50 risk covariates. Between those who were eligible and enrolled in Families First and those not eligible but did not enroll in the Families First program. So, for example, that we found that the mean risk score on the Families First screen was a little bit higher in the Families First, in those who are participating in the Families First program compared with those who are not. The socioeconomic index, those enrolled in the program were slightly lower socioeconomic status than those who were not enrolled in the program. We had the mother's age at first birth, alcohol and drug use during pregnancy, whether or not the mother smoked during pregnancy, so just under 50% in the Families First program smoked during pregnancy and 56% in the non-Families First. And we also had a variety of mental health indicators and social isolation indicators. After applying the propensity scores, you'll see that a lot of the differences that existed between those enrolled in the program and those not enrolled in the program were all eliminated. In fact, we did not have statistically significantly different groups after applying the propensity score, which gave us a little bit more assuredness that we were comparing families that were comparable, at least on about 50 measured covariates that we were able to include in our models. When we, after adjusting for the 50 covariates, we found that the rate for children being taken into care was lower in those enrolled in the Families First program versus those who were not after 1 year of birth. Again, this is after controlling for 50 covariates. And as well, when we followed them for 2 years, we found that the rate of apprehension was lower in the program participants versus not. So a relative risk of 0.75 after 1 year and 0.79 after 2 years. When we did an additional test for measured whether or not these results would be sensitive to unmeasured confounding. So as you know, we are only able to control for those factors that we can measure. We were concerned about whether some unmeasured confounding might invalidate these findings. And we found that for these results, we would have to have an unmeasured confounder that would account for over 50% of this program of relationship after adjusting for those confounders. So we felt that this result was likely fairly robust to unmeasured confounding. When we looked at injury for maltreatment, the rate in the Families First was again lower than the rate in those who were not enrolled in the program. 0.59% was the rate ratio. However, these results were very sensitive to unmeasured confounding. So what does that mean? We found it would only take an unmeasured confounder that would account for about 2% of this relationship, and then our results would be nullified. So this result might be flipped if we were able to adjust for more confounding, and I wouldn't leave here hanging my hat on this as being a program effect. We also looked at complete immunization, and we found that immunization rates, complete immunization rates after 1 year and 2 years was higher in those enrolled in the program versus not. And this result required about 30%, a confounder that would account for 30% of this relationship in order to nullify it. Finally, we looked at inequity of being taken into care. So what this is a concentration curve looking at the distribution of children being taken into care across the socioeconomic gradient. So we've plotted this going from low-income families to high-income families. If the rate of being taken into care were equally distributed across the entire population in Manitoba, these lines would follow this line of equity. So regardless of what socioeconomic status you are, you're equally likely to be taken into care. When there's a bulge on top of the line like this, it means that low-income families are more likely to be taken into care compared with high-income families. The further away the line is from the line of equity, the more inequitable the rate of care is. So we found that after adjusting for confounding, we used the modeled rate ratios to get a concentration curve, and we found out that there was a significant decrease in the inequities of being taken into care between those enrolled in the program versus not. So we see the red line is what it looks like when families do not participate in the Families First program, and the blue line is the rate when they are enrolled in the Families First program, and this blue line is closer to the line of equity, and those two lines are significantly different from one another. And again, we did that, and we also found a reduced inequities when looking at 2 years. So we found that the Families First program was associated with 25 and 21% decrease in the rates for children being taken into care. And those results were likely robust to unmeasured confounding. We found a 41% decrease in hospitalizations due to injury. However, those results were not likely to be robust to unmeasured confounding. And we found increases in complete immunization rates. Some implications of this: for every 33 children enrolled in the program, we estimate that there was one child whose apprehension into care was prevented. Over the 7-year period that we used for this data, 139 children were prevented from going into care as a result of the Families First program after adjusting for over 50 confounders. And for every 250 children in the program, one was prevented from being hospitalized, and 18 were prevented from being hospitalized due to maltreatment. And with that, I'll open for questions. Yep. This one?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sort of confused. Is it the cumulative percent?
Yep. So it's.
So the biggest significant difference is in the middle. Can you explain that?
Yep, I'll explain it. The way this graph works is you order the families according to their income status in Manitoba.
Oh.
And so the.
The difference
is really here, but what this does is it actually, so typically in EPI we think of things as rate ratios and rate differences comparing high income to low income families, right? What this graph allows us to do is it lets us, and there's a number that goes along with this called the concentration index. What this does is it allows us to say what's the distribution across the entire socioeconomic gradient, and is that distribution different with the program and without the program? And we calculate the area under that in order to get the differences. There was my colleague presented the stats talk about this earlier today. But
it's basically showing that at the upper and lower ends of the economic gradient, they're pretty much
similar, but so in here,
between 25 and 75.
It's about the 17th percentile up to about the 83rd, 85th percentile is where. Other questions? Yes.
I have a logistical question that probably could be a talk all on its own. But how did you get data share agreements for all of those for education records and hospitalization?
Yep. So the question was, how did we get data sharing agreements between all of the different ministries in Manitoba? I gave that talk 2 days ago. But no. I'll give it to you in a brief. So the center is has been around since the 90s. I'm an American, I'm not a Canadian. I'm an American who moved up there because of these data. 25, 30 years ago, another two Americans moved up. And they started building relationships between all of the different ministries. All of these ministries have given us these data. They sit at the Manitoba Center for Health Policy. In return for us having access to the data to use, we do studies for the government as well as our own private research. So every year, the Manitoba Center does 5 studies for the government on a range of topics using the data, and that's our give back to them. And then in return, we get access to the data for our own independent research.
So just a quick
25-year relationship. The justice data, we just got those data 2 years ago. And I was on the committee to bring those data in. And the first meeting, there was a lot of apprehension, and it took a conversation, it took a meeting with them, it took us bringing the Justice Ministry to the Ministry of Health, and they assured them that we don't use data inappropriately, all of the confidentiality and de-identification processes that are in place. And after 2 years, they said, okay, you can have our data. So yeah, it's a long process.